Here's to the paper pushers, the rush hour warriors, and the gotta get awayers. Trade the daily grind for a place to unwind, where you can rise with the tide and roll down the boardwalk, where you can eat french fries for lunch and ice cream for dinner, where your only commute is your walk to the beach, where every day feels like Saturday. Ocean City, Maryland, somewhere to smile about. Book your trip at OCOcean.com.
There's a very easy political win for President Joe Biden on the table right now. It really is a very easy political win, and it has two facets. Political facet number one would be rejecting these insane anti-American protesters on America's college campuses. And facet number two would be supporting America's democratic ally, Israel, and extirpating an actual terrorist group currently holding five Americans hostage, as well as approximately 128 others after committing the worst terrorist atrocity since 9/11. That would be a dual win for the Biden administration, but Joe Biden appears unable to take the win. And today we're going to discuss just why he appears unable to take the win. First, let's bring you the latest from America's college campuses, which continue to be overrun by people who despise the West, truly despise the West. Understand, they don't hate America because they hate Israel. They hate Israel because they hate America. These are the same exact people who'd be burning American flags and are the same exact people who would divest from the United States if they could and are attempting to do so. Nothing has changed. This is just the latest iteration of a radical movement that began in the 1960s and has continued unabated until today. The only difference that now they're all in the administration as well. So you end up with this faculty and administrators taking the side of the nut job protesters who are currently occupying the centers of campus and shutting down commencements. So, for example, over at the University of Pennsylvania, again, a very prestigious school, Penn students were harassing other Penn students as they crossed the campus. Obviously, it's Jewish students who are being harassed over at University of Pennsylvania.
How are your eyes feeling?
Well, you have been shining a strobing flashlight in them for a long time.
That's correct.
That's
I'm doing it for a reason,
All right.
You getting the message?
Maybe. I don't know. I walk this way.
These are pro-Israel students who are being hit with a strobe flashlight as they walk across the campus in order to be harassed. And in the background, you see the giant Palestinian flag. And of course, all of these jackasses are covering their faces with the keffiyeh. This person has committed the grave sin of being a Jew at the University of Pennsylvania. Or take UCLA, where a bunch of atheist lesbians decided to join in the Islamic prayer on the lawn at UCLA. This is the first religious conversion for these atheistic dolts that I've ever seen. So en masse, they are joining now with in solidarity with people who legitimately believe in Sharia law and believe that women should be subjugated and not go to school and should be whipped if they do not obey particular aspects of Islamic law. But you've got the atheistic blue hair contingent who are now bowing in Islamic prayer with these people. Again, the red-green alliance is riding together here. These are not all Muslims. Many of these people are left-wing protesters who are not Muslim.
Sure.
In some ways, quite reminiscent of the left-wing white protesters who decided to kneel for BLM. It turns out that if you're on the left, you're willing to kneel for anything. Anything that is anti-American and anti-Western enough. That is what you're willing to kneel for. Again, those are not Muslims. They're not engaging in Muslim prayer activity. If they were, that'd be no problem. What you have here is a bunch of blue-haired gender studies college students who are kneeling in obeisance to radical Islam in solidarity with Hamas. Meanwhile, over at MIT, protesters were chanting death to the Zionists and Palestine will be Arab in Arabic. Well, they've got rhythm. They've got music. Meanwhile, over at NYU, students were leading teach-ins on the glories of North Korea. Why? Well, because North Korea backs Hamas, which means North Korea is good now, despite being a repressive slave state.
So which side do y'all think North Korea supports, Palestine or Israel? Just guess.
Palestine.
It is Palestine. The DPRK has actually never recognized the state of Israel.
Well,
they have always upheld the right of Palestinian people to self-determination.
Yeah, sure, the Norks.
And this is beyond moral and rhetorical support. The DPRK has actively armed and trained Palestinian resistance for decades. That includes the PLO, the PFLP, and the DFLP have trained troops by the DPRK.
Isn't that wonderful? How exciting. So now NYU students are propping up talk for the DPRK, which again would be Kim Jong-un and the North Korean regime that keeps its people in a state of penury, poverty, and absolute tyranny. These are the people who are rallying on America's college campuses. At George Washington University, students decided to take over the main square at the campus and rename it Martyrs Square. The martyrs they're referring to here are Palestinian terrorists.
We reject the terms that our imperialist, colonialist overlords have chosen for us. We name for ourselves. And we do it to honor our martyrs.
They're martyrs. Their martyrs are
from
terrorists,
today
by the way.
On, this is Shahada Square. Yeah!
From today on, at George Washington University, a university named for George Washington, it's Shahada Square.
We do it all for liberation.
A Shahid is a terrorist. They do it for resistance. They do it for Palestine. Again, this is all at America's college campuses. Meanwhile, the administrations and the faculty at these universities continue to cave to these students, to these radical students. And as we'll discuss in just 1 second, this is not happening in a vacuum. These are very well-organized protests and very well-funded protests. And it's that last part that is going to make a big difference when you get to Joe Biden, who is happy to wink and nod at these people, pat them on the head. Why? Because the same people who are signing checks to the resistance groups on campus, so to speak, are also signing checks to Joe Biden's campaign. We'll get to more on this in just one moment. First, once again, PureTalk is investing in their own customers with their own money without charging you an extra penny. I'm happy to announce that PureTalk is now providing international roaming to over 50 countries. As you plan your summer travel, make sure your wireless provider has you covered at home and abroad. PureTalk already puts you on America's most dependable 5G network. Now they're offering coverage in over 50 countries as well. Enjoy the freedom of unlimited talk, text, and ample 5G data for just $20 a month with PureTalk. This is a deal that's hard to beat, costing you less than half of what you'd pay with other networks. Not only is their U.S. customer service team ready to assist you with a seamless switch, they also have fantastic savings on the latest iPhones and Androids. Ready to make a smart switch? Join my cell phone company, PureTalk. Start saving today. Visit puretalk.com/Shapiro to explore their offers. When you make the switch, you'll enjoy an additional 50% off your very first month of coverage. Don't miss out on the opportunity to save on wireless at home and abroad. Visit puretalk.com/Shapiro. Again, that's puretalk.com/Shapiro today. Use the same coverage that I've got. puretalk.com/Shapiro to get started today. Columbia University announced on Monday morning that they would cancel their two main commencement ceremonies after the school began suspending protesters who refused to leave their encampment in protest of the war in Gaza and really in protest at Israel. Do you understand the insane lack of moral clarity that it takes in order to be on the side of Hamas in this conflict? The insane lack of moral clarity. Israel was attacked on October 7th after 20 years of withdrawal from the Gaza Strip. Hamas proceeded to murder 1,200 people and take 250 hostages. They are currently holding 133 hostages. Probably only a few dozen of those people are alive. Five Americans are being held hostage. And these people are like, maybe Israel shouldn't exist. We need a Palestinian state governed by, say, Hamas or the Palestinian Authority, which supports October 7th. According to Axios now, of course, all the administrators and the faculty at these universities are backers of all of this. Again, the only reason to do this is because you hate the West, and this is just the most pure iteration of hating the West. If you can side with actual honest-to-God terrorists who attack Western allies, I don't know what else to say about that other than you hate the West, because clearly you do. Again, the great danger at a college and university these days is not in carrying a Palestinian flag or wearing a Hamas headdress. The great danger at a university these days is walking through an area occupied by these people carrying an American flag. But all the administrators are caving. So at Columbia, they are now canceling commencements. Meanwhile, according to the Wall Street Journal, more university professors are joining the demonstrations roiling college campuses, both to voice support for Gazans and to defend their students' right to protest. Faculty, many of whom are in their 60s and 70s and came of age during the era of the Vietnam War protests. Again, these are the early iteration of the blue hairs. They just didn't have the ability to dye their hair back in 1968 in as easy a way as they can today. So now they're just aging hippies and they're close to death. But they're still the college administrators and faculty. They're pushing back against university presidents, accusing the leaders of heavy-handed, inconsistent crackdowns on free speech, warning against a wave of authoritarianism. Some have said has been creeping onto the campuses for years. Again, these are the chief proponents of authoritarianism on campus. They're literally violating the law right now in order to take over public areas. These are the same exact people who would organize in order to try to bar me from speaking at college campuses. And now they're like, it's authoritarian in order to clear unlicensed protests at college campuses that have not gone through the proper channels. In recent days, police have arrested professors during demonstrations at schools, including Washington U in St. Louis, Emory University, and UCLA. At Indiana, more than 3,000 faculty, grad workers, students, staff, and alumni have called for the resignation of President Pamela Whitten, saying she escalated confrontations between demonstrators and police by changing the rules of engagement for protesters at an encampment without adequately informing the campus. Whitten said, quote, anti-Semitic episodes have been linked to these national encampment campaigns and become magnets for those making threats of violence. Okay, now, here is the part of all of this that people ought to pay attention to. This is incredibly well-organized. Okay, and it is the organization here and the funding here that really matter, because there's an obvious question in all of this. If you poll Americans as to whether they are sympathetic to the moron, privileged college students who are going to America's top colleges and universities, subsidized by the taxpayer dime, are they sympathetic to these people cheering for Hamas? The overwhelming majority of Americans say no. The overwhelming majority of Americans say if you're a foreign student and you are protesting in favor of Hamas, you should be deported because Hamas is a terrorist group. The majority of Americans are not interested in subsidizing queer studies majors who are out protesting in favor of people who commit terrorist attacks. They're not in favor of any of that. And all Joe Biden would have to do is say these protesters are wrongheaded, that things they are saying are untrue, they're making accusations that are false. And by the way, also, when they violate the law, they should be, in fact, prosecuted to the full extent of the law. It's not all that hard. And again, that is a two-pronged message that needs to come from the White House. So far, they've done the second, which is if they violate the law, something has to happen to them. But I promise you that if these protesters were protesting for quote unquote white supremacy, Joe Biden would have no problem whatsoever condemning the message of the protest, but he won't. And he's even having trouble condemning the actual protesters themselves, even though, again, they are incredibly well organized. Not just in spite of their organization, by the way, because they are well organized. According to the Wall Street Journal, the recent wave of pro-Palestinian protests on college campuses came on suddenly and shocked people across the nation. But the political tactics underlying some of the demonstrations were the result of months of training, planning, and encouragement by longtime activists and left-wing groups. And this is the typical way that the left works. They've been into community organizing since the 1960s in Saul Alinsky. There's a reason Barack Obama was a community organizer. There's a reason that in the 1960s, large-scale college organizations were able to push the Democratic Party way to the left. There's a reason they had extremely well-organized protesters, well-funded protesters during BLM. The left knows how to do this. Agitation is an actual business to them. It is not like the Republicans when they get together for a Tea Party, or even conservatives or Republicans who believe the election was stolen in 2020, when they sort of randomly get together on January 6th and in a disorganized, ridiculous way attempt to move into the Capitol building. These are well organized. These people are drilled. They are on message. This is, in fact, an army of activists that has been generated by actual funding and actual staffing. Sueda Polat, a graduate student and organizer in a pro-Palestinian encampment at Columbia, said, quote, "We took notes from our elders, engaged in dialogue with them, analyzed how the university responded to previous protests." The National Students for Justice in Palestine, or NSJP, which is currently under lawsuit for having links to Hamas, has been around some two decades and has more than 300 chapters across the United States, many of which have helped organize the college encampments and building occupations. NSJP has for months called on students to stand strong against colleges until they divest themselves of investments in entities doing business with Israel. As early as October, NSJP was promoting a day of resistance with demonstrations at colleges. On April 25th, they said the student movement for Palestine liberation will not be silenced, will escalate until our demands are met. That same day on X, the group posted drawings with friendly advice to protesting students. One suggested they wear comfortable clothes and running shoes and bring water, an energy bar, and a bandana in case of surveillance. Another referred to police as pigs and offered this advice, quote, "If someone is arrested, don't linger too long or pigs will kettle the march," referring to a crowd control tactic. "Free the comrade or else get their name and birth date for jail support and keep it moving." On April 29th, the group announced a new chant, "No divestment, no commencement." University administrators have been concerned that coming graduations could be interrupted, and so they've just been canceling the commencements, as opposed to, you know, arresting the people who are disrupting the commencements. In March, there was a Resistance 101 training scheduled at Columbia with guest speakers, including longtime activists with Samidun, Palestinian Prisoner Solidarity Network. It turns out that that group has links, again, with terror groups. One of the speakers, a Charlotte Cates, said, quote, "There is nothing wrong with being a member of Hamas, being a leader of Hamas, being a fighter in Hamas. These are people that are on the front lines defending Hamas." Okay, these are well-organized, well-drilled, well-schooled activists. And they are really well-funded. We'll get to more on this in a moment. First, Grand Canyon University. It's a private Christian university in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona. GCU believes our creator has endowed us with certain unalienable rights. Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. GCU equips you to serve others in ways that promote your flourishing, creating a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. Whether pursuing a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, Grand Canyon University's online, on-campus, and hybrid learning environments are designed to help you achieve your degree. They've got over 330 academic programs as of September 2023. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. That's gcu.edu. Again, gcu.edu. According to Politico, President Biden has been dogged for months by pro-Palestinian protesters calling him Genocide Joe. But some of the groups behind the demonstration received financial backing from philanthropists pushing hard for his reelect. And herein lies the rub. Joe Biden is not going to cut off his funders. Joe Biden is being paid by the same people who are paying for these protests. This is why Jonathan Chait, who's on the left, has a piece over at New York Magazine talking about how Joe Biden is running for the wrong voters, that in Michigan, he is not losing Michigan because of the Gaza issue. He is losing Michigan because of inflation. As Jonathan Chait points out, earlier this year, national pundits began connecting Joe Biden's poor standing in the presidential election with the revolt on his left over his policy in Gaza. Michigan was the epicenter of the crisis. Polls seemed to indicate Biden's unpopularity was especially acute there. There is no longer any evidence this is true. The polling average shows that far from having a Michigan problem, Michigan is Biden's best swing state, or at least his least bad one. At the moment, he's trailing by 0.3 points in Michigan, a smaller deficit than Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, or the Sunbelt states. Yet even though Biden turns out not to have a specific Michigan problem, the broader narrative has calcified. It's true that Biden is disproportionately shedding non-white Democrats to Trump, but that is totally consistent with the fact that Black and Latino Democrats are more moderate than white Democrats. What about the angry youth? A Harvard Youth poll asked voters aged 18 to 29 to rank 16 issues in terms of importance. The Israel-Palestine conflict ranked 15th. So why is Joe Biden doing this? Again, the polling data does not support what he is doing. As a matter of politics, it is incredibly stupid to steer away from the center where Joe Biden needs votes. The answer is he wants the cash. He is being paid by the same exact people. His campaign is being funded by the same exact people who are funding all of these protests. As Politico points out, the donors include some of the biggest names in Democratic circles, George Soros, Rockefeller, Pritzker, according to a Politico analysis. Two of the organizers supporting the protests at Columbia University and on other campuses are Jewish Voice for Peace and If Not Now. These are both radical groups, and they're both supported by the Tides Foundation, seeded by George Soros, and was previously supported by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Soros declined to comment. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation said it no longer has active grants to Tides and does not support JVP or If Not Now. David Rockefeller Jr. sits on the board of the Rockefeller Brothers Fund. In 2022, the fund gave 300 grand to the Tides Foundation. Tides has given 500 grand over the past 5 years to Jewish Voice for Peace, which explicitly describes itself as anti-Zionist. Jewish Voice for Peace is a front group that is directly aimed at destroying the state of Israel with a few nutters in the Reconstructionist Jewish movement, or unaffiliated, who bring out their as a Jew card every so often so that they can say terribly anti-Semitic things, and then people will ignore that they're saying terribly anti-Semitic things. Several other groups are involved in the pro-Palestinian protests and are backed by a foundation funded by Susan and Nick Pritzker, heir to the Hyatt Hotel Empire, and supporters of the Biden and numerous Democratic campaigns, including $6,600 to the Biden Victory Fund a few months ago and more than 300 grand during the 2020 campaign. So why exactly are all of these funds giving money to JVP? Why are they doing all of that? The answer is because the left believes that these are the leaders of the future, just as the old crazies took over the campuses in the 60s and then became the powerhouses and the administrators and the faculty. Well, now they are hoping to build a new Democratic Party on the back of the radicals. And Joe Biden is too weak to actually do anything about it, which is, again, political malpractice, because you can see that nobody likes these people. At University of Michigan, for example, they held a graduation over the weekend, and pro-Hamas protesters showed up to try and disrupt. And here was the crowd's response when those protesters were removed. The police take these people away. And everybody's very excited. Because it turns out no one likes these jackasses. No one likes them. They think they're bad people because they are bad people and they believe bad things. But Joe Biden refuses to dissociate. As proof of this, Mitch Landrieu, who's the Biden national co-chair, was asked specifically on national TV over the weekend about distancing himself from protesters, Joe Biden distancing himself from the protesters, and he wouldn't do it.
You see different campuses handling this in a different way, and finally you see some campuses doing this better than others. The president has been very strong about this from the beginning. And the president came out the other day, and as he said, as he has always said, he understands that people have a right to protest, but they have to do so peacefully. But when it turns violent, that's when things have to end. You're going to have a university president on after you have me on, and they're going to continue to work through this. But the president's been very clear about this. He's also been very strong about the need to stamp out anti-Semitism and Islamophobia. It's a very difficult time, very passionate opinions on both sides of this issue. The president has been handling it, I think, very, very well, and he's going to continue to do so.
Okay, so he won't distance himself from the protesters. By handling this very well, it's hard to imagine Joe Biden handling this worse. And by polling data, everyone is unsatisfied with Joe Biden. In fact, one of the funniest clips from these college campuses at UCLA, a bunch of people who are pro-Hamas and a bunch of people who are pro-Israel were standing across a lot shouting at each other. And then somebody on the pro-Israel side started shouting, F Joe Biden. And then everybody on the pro-Hamas side started shouting, F Joe Biden. And so everyone on both sides are shouting, F Joe Biden. Because it turns out when you don't take a clear moral stance, no one likes you. They think that you're a coward because you are. And by the way, that cowardice is going to actually have deadly consequences. We'll get to more on this in just 1 second. First, one thing is very important to remember. Vegetables are terrible, so I don't like to eat them. So I make up for my vegetable deficiencies by taking Balance of Nature fruits and veggies. Balance of Nature fruits and veggies is the most convenient way to ensure you get your daily intake of fruits and veggies. Balance of Nature uses an advanced cold vacuum process that encapsulates fruits and veggies into whole food supplements without sacrificing those natural antioxidants. The capsules are completely void of additives, fillers, extracts, synthetics, pesticides, or added sugar. The only thing in those Balance of Nature fruit and veggie capsules are, you know, like fruits and veggies. You need nutrients to function at your best every day. Balance of Nature helps you do just that. And by the way, Balance of Nature is kosher, which means that I can open up those capsules, put them in the protein smoothies, and be as buff as I want to be. Go to balanceofnature.com, use promo code Shapiro, get 35% off your first set of fruits and veggies, plus an additional $10 off every additional set that you buy. That is balanceofnature.com, promo code Shapiro. Again, balanceofnature.com, promo code Shapiro. Get the veggies without the headache of eating veggies. Go to balanceofnature.com, use promo code Shapiro. So this weekend, the IDF made clear, the Israeli Defense Forces made clear, that they are going into Rafah. This happened after 4 Israeli soldiers were killed and 10 were hurt inside Israel by a Hamas rocket attack from Rafah. So while the rest of the world is trying to protect Hamas in Rafah, claiming that Israel will cause a humanitarian crisis, Hamas literally attacked a staging ground for humanitarian aid. So Israel set up at Kerem Shalom Crossing, which is on the border of Rafah. They set up a gateway to get humanitarian aid into Rafah. Hamas attacked it with rockets because they don't care about the people of Gaza. They don't care about Palestinians. They do not. Those are all human shields to them. The more of them that die, the better, because it means they can show to the cameras how bad the Jews are. Hamas wants Palestinians to die. It is their goal in life for both Palestinians and Jews to die. Jews to die, ideally, but if it turns out they're militarily inferior, then get Palestinians killed in order so you can blame the Jews and turn world opinion against the Jews in Israel. That is Hamas's entire goal, and the West is idiotic, and so many people on the West, particularly on the left, are falling for it because they are stupid people. You have to be a moron to believe that Hamas is seeking some sort of peaceful off-ramp while holding Israeli hostages, while firing rockets at humanitarian aid convoys, which is what Hamas does. Hamas literally fired mortars at the pier that the United States is building in the Mediterranean last week. They're literally stealing all of the humanitarian aid coming in. You know how you know that? Because there's a lot of talk about how there's not enough currency inside Gaza for people to get the humanitarian aid. Wait, you ask, isn't humanitarian aid supposed to be free? Yes, it is. So why do you need money for it? Because Hamas stole all of it. And they're selling back the surplus to the Palestinians who need the food. So over the weekend, Hamas, in a demonstration of just how peaceful they are and how they really want a ceasefire now, they killed 4 Israeli soldiers with a rocket attack again on a gateway for humanitarian aid. They wounded another 10 soldiers. Most of the rockets struck an area where troops were gathered on the border not far from the Kerem Shalom border crossing, which again has been used, according to the Times of Israel, to deliver thousands of truckloads of humanitarian aid to Gaza amid the war. And the United States, again, because when you make diplomacy a goal rather than a means, you end up doing PR work for the bad guys. This is the outcome of the Iran deal under Obama. Once the deal was made and diplomacy was the highest goal, then it became the United States' job to pretend that Iran was complying with a deal it was clearly violating. And now America's doing the same thing with regard to Hamas. So Israel keeps going back to Hamas and giving more and more and more concessions. And Hamas keeps refusing, because what they really want is for Israel to just leave the Gaza Strip and give it back to Hamas so they can declare victory, which of course Israel can never do. So the United States continues to try to push Israel. So the question is why? Again, it's political malpractice. If you're Joe Biden, what you need is for Israel to finish off Rafah and do it quickly, so that by the time you get to the convention, this is not on the front pages anymore. That would be your goal if you were a smart person. But Joe Biden is both a corrupt person and a dullard. And so what he is attempting to do now is take the money and also take a middle position on this conflict. So the IDF has now told 100,000 Palestinians to evacuate eastern Rafah ahead of a planned offensive. They use flyers, texts, phone calls to call on Gazans to leave specific areas. There are 4 battalions of Hamas that are left out of the original 23 battalions of Hamas that are left in Rafah right now. The international community, again, playing defense for Hamas, as always. They are talking about how it's unacceptable for Israel to go into Rafah. Apparently, it's acceptable for Hamas to continue to hold Rafah. Meanwhile, Netanyahu and Joe Biden are expected to speak as Israel prepares the offensive. The CIA chief, William Burns, in Jerusalem to meet with Netanyahu and war leadership. So simultaneously, the Biden administration is saying that Israel has made very generous offers. Also, Israel should give away all leverage by never going into Rafah, is, I guess, the idea. So Israel's been prepping the invasion. In the middle of Israel prepping this final step in the war, the United States, according to Barak Ravid, who is the stenographer for Jake Sullivan and the national security apparatus at the Biden administration over at Axios. They literally just call him and he writes whatever they want him to write. He says that apparently the Biden administration put a hold on a shipment of U.S.-made ammunition to Israel in the middle of this, despite the fact that the United States Congress overwhelmingly passed foreign aid to both Ukraine and Israel, as well as Taiwan, as well as banning foreign ownership of TikTok. Joe Biden is now attempting to slow walk the aid to Israel in the middle of an attempt to finish the war. We'll get to more on this in a moment. First, everyone thinks mortgage rates are extremely high. That's not entirely true. They are much lower, for example, than the average credit card rate of 22%. Think about how much interest you'll pay on that credit card if you only make the minimum payment every month. Well, if you're a homeowner, a cash-out refi with American Financing can help you pay off that debt and lower your monthly expenses. The mortgage interest is tax-deductible. American Financing saves homeowners like you an average of $854 a month. Their salary-based mortgage consultants will show you how much you can save every month. No upfront fees, no obligation. You might even close in as fast as 10 days and possibly delay 2 mortgage payments, giving you greater savings upfront. Don't wait another day to get the financial relief you need. Break free from the cycle of living paycheck to paycheck. Call American Financing at 866-721-3300. If you call today, you might not have to make next month's mortgage payment. That's 866-721-3300 or visit AmericanFinancing.net. NMLS 182334, NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Don't get stuck behind that credit card eight ball. Call American Financing today at 866-721-3300. That's 866-721-3300. Behind the scenes, according to Axios, last Wednesday, Secretary of State Antony Blinken visited Israel and had a tough conversation with Netanyahu regarding a possible Israeli operation in Rafah. Blinken told Netanyahu during their meeting a major military operation in Rafah would lead to the U.S. publicly opposing it and would negatively impact U.S.-Israel relations. Now, of course, that's been true for a long time. Once the Biden administration idiotically started suggesting that they had conditions for Israel going into Rafah, that Israel would have to hit particular goals in order to present a military plan that would be acceptable to the United States, they were never going to greenlight the operation, ever. Because the minute they greenlight it, the Biden administration owns it. So, of course, they're going to claim they oppose the Rafah move. But if Israel has no leverage to go into Rafah, they ain't getting back their hostages because they have no leverage. If the United States says you have nothing to trade, then Israel has nothing to trade if Israel took that seriously. So Israel's saying, no, we're going in anyway. Israel Minister of Defense Yoav Gallant visited Israeli military forces in Gaza on Saturday, said Israel sees, quote, worrying signals. Hamas is not going to move toward an agreement on releasing the hostages. So the Biden administration is now delaying ammunition shipments. A White House national security spokesperson declined to confirm the report. Now, at this point, I'd like to point out that when there was a president named Donald Trump and he was slow walking aid to Ukraine in 2019, 2020, the Democrats decided that this was an impeachable offense. And this violated the so-called Impound Control Act. The Impound Control Act of 1974 suggests that when Congress allocates money for a particular funding apparatus, the executive branch is duty-bound to actually go spend the money. And there are only certain conditions under which you can hold back the money. Those conditions include informing Congress. The Biden administration did not do that. Now, when the Trump administration didn't do that with regard to Ukraine, at that point, a watchdog suggested that federal law had been violated. According to the OMB, they had said that the money was designated by Congress pending a policy decision. The 1974 law does not permit the OMB to withhold funds for policy reasons, which meant, according to Chris Van Hollen, Democrat from Maryland, that this was impeachable. He said, we now have a GAO, General Accounting Office, decision stating conclusively the Trump administration violated the law. We know the president ordered the violation of that law. But when Joe Biden slow walks aid to Israel in the middle of all of this, in violation of the Impoundment Control Act of 74, then apparently it's totally fine, according to the Democrats. That's the way that all of this works. Again, there's only one reason that Joe Biden is doing that. And this is because he wants the money from the same donors who are supporting the protesters. And because he believes that those protesters are somehow going to spur him to victory. They're not. They're going to vote for Cornel West and Jill Stein. And Joe Biden is a fool to believe that he's going to convince them back into voting for him rather than voting for these third party candidates. Do you think any of these protests are going to be door knocking for Joe Biden? All these protesters are going to be the ones at the DNC in Chicago who are screaming and shouting outside the convention hall. And unlike in 68, when the mayor of Chicago, Daley, decided to clear the streets, this time you're going to have Mayor Brandon Johnson probably joining the protesters outside. Now, all of this has been in the works for a very long time in the Democratic Party. The slow shift in the Democratic Party away from a pro-Israel and, frankly, pro-America position has been a long time in coming. It really gained steam during the Obama administration. At the 2012 convention, very famously, there was a proposal to remove from the Democratic platform a provision saying that Jerusalem was the capital of Israel. That proposal to remove that plank from the platform was, in fact, approved by a voice vote on the floor. Antonio Villaraigosa, who was running the DNC at the time in 2012, literally overruled the voice vote. He just kind of just said, the ayes have it in terms of retaining the platform. I was there. I remember. I was on the floor. So this has been happening for a long time inside the Democratic halls of power. And Joe Biden is now just giving way. So what is the goal here? Well, for Joe Biden, apparently, the goal would be to keep Hamas intact because that is the predictable result of Israel not going into Rafah. If Israel is not going to Rafah, Hamas remains intact. He is saving Hamas. There is no other way to put it. No plan has been formulated whereby Hamas gives up power and Israel declares a ceasefire. Hamas is not giving up power. They made this very, very clear. In fact, there were reports last week that Sinwar, who's the military head of Hamas, the designer of October 7th, has literally been hiding behind hostages. Apparently, something like 15 of the hostages have been directly placed around Sinwar so that if Israel goes in, he will kill the hostages. Those are the people the Biden administration is currently negotiating with. All this is part and parcel of a wild left-wing agenda the Democratic Party is beginning to embrace wholesale. We'll get to more on that in just one second. First, a very special message from our old friend, Adam Carolla.
Catch the series premiere of Mr. Burcham this Sunday, 9 o'clock, 8 Central, exclusively on Daily Wire Plus. Episode 1 is streaming for free, so no excuses, people. Mr. Burcham is decades in the making, and now it's showtime. Check out the Mr. Burcham trailer and see what the fuss is all about.
Tell me what you need.
Jumping in the first one.
Rolling. Speed. Action.
Sawbuck's looking a little chubby wubby.
So I bought him some new food.
It's organic and vegan.
Dogs are supposed to eat meat. They're descendants of wolves. You ever see a vegan wolf on the Nature Channel?
I'm a vegan.
Coffee is for closers, ladies. Listen up!
Hey, don't make this a prison hug.
I'm a heteronormative, cisgendered white male.
For which I apologize.
I'm black, and that used to be enough, but I'm also bilingual, and I'm non-binary.
We're the Army! We drink more before 9 a.m. than you Navy pukes do all day.
He rubbed all the fur off his emotional support ferret. The damn thing looked like a four-legged penis.
charity and work. Two words that should never go together. Like women and opinions.
I want a burly man. They're salty and make me dizzy.
Sorry, HSD, to find a thingy to fix my gaming chair.
When I was on the construction site, my chair was a 5-gallon bucket. It was also my toilet.
Hey, I'm done. I'm going back to bed. Thanks a lot.
Remember, Mr. Burcham's series premiere this Sunday, 9 o'clock, 8 Central. Stream it free only on Daily Wire Plus.
Okay, so Democrats keep moving on and on to the left. But here's the thing. This stuff is unpopular. So what that means is that they're just going to keep rebranding it. So, for example, DEI, right? Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. Our friend Chris Rufo has done an amazing job exposing DEI, among others. Obviously, we've been talking about DEI for a very long time on the show. DEI is a terrible ideology that suggests that any sense of victimization, so long as you're unsuccessful, is justified, and that it is the system that has, in fact, victimized you. That if a group is disproportionately unsuccessful in a particular field, and that group is not white Christian males, then that group must have been victimized by the system. And the more successful you are as a group, by the way, that means you've now joined the victimizer. So if you're Asian American on a college campus, you're now a white Christian male. If you're a Jew, you're now a white Christian male as well, so long as you are successful in the system. You've now joined the superstructure of white supremacy, according to the left. It's a pretty ugly ideology. And now DEI has come under proper fire. Well, now DEI, it's undergoing a rebrand. It's not going to go away. It's too deeply embedded in all the substructures of American government, as well as in corporate America. Why? As Christopher Caldwell wrote in The Age of Entitlement, the complete second constitution that was written in the 1960s with regard to the Civil Rights Act, which completely rejiggered the relationship between the federal government and the individual for some good reasons and some very bad reasons. That constitutional overturning ended with DEI being embedded in every aspect of American life. Anti-discrimination laws across the country that are designed to hamper private contract and private viewpoints. The kind of stuff that we are seeing from Title VI on college campuses, which there are some people who I think are misguidedly trying to broaden that out or grant greater powers to the Department of Education on Title VI grounds, as opposed to just defunding these colleges entirely, which is really what should happen. So what are all these corporations doing? Well, they're still afraid of the legal liability. They're still afraid they're going to get sued under the Civil Rights Act, under Title VII of the Civil Rights Act. So they're not going to make DEI go away. They're just going to call it something different. According to the Washington Post, amid growing legal, social, and political backlash, American businesses, industry groups, and employment professionals are quietly scrubbing DEI from public view. They're not necessarily abandoning its practice. As they rebrand programs and hot-button acronyms, they're reassessing decades-old anti-discrimination strategies and rewriting policies that once emphasized race and gender to prioritize inclusion for all. So instead of getting rid of DEI, they're going to say it applies to everybody. But wink, wink, it's not going to. It will apply to exactly the same groups it always applied to. It's all in the application. According to the Washington Post, Johnny C. Taylor Jr., chief executive of the Society for Human Resource Management, said practitioners of DEI and its antecedents traditionally have focused on improving representation for a historically marginalized group, believing the magic bullet was diversity. We underestimated that inclusion was the real challenge, Taylor said. Now people are saying, not only should we probably call it something different, we should probably evolve it. So what exactly does that evolution look like? I mean, it looks like exactly the same thing. He said some practitioners and executives dismissed the rebrand as superficial. A growing number of companies are either listing DEI as a risk factor in shareholder reports or removing mentions of diversity goals outright. But that doesn't mean they're going to stop doing what they are doing. Eric Ellis, CEO of Integrity Development, which is a DEI consultancy, he says he expects the language to keep changing in response to public attacks. So instead, they're just going to keep doing the same things, but they're going to call it something else. The only answer, of course, is to dismantle the DEI infrastructure completely. Don't allow the rebrand, because it turns out the consequences of DEI on a national and international level are quite terrible. DEI is just a name for cultural Marxism. That's all it is. All it is a race-based Marxism in which, instead of looking at class divisions are cross-referenced with racial divisions. That's all DEI is. And you know what that ends with? It ends with a view that, again, the superstructure of the West needs to be torn down, which is precisely why in the UK, for example, you now have candidates who are winning who are openly in favor of Sharia law and Hamas. British Green Party candidate Mohsin Ali, according to Israel Hayom. He won the Gipton and Hare Hells seat in Leeds with about 3,000 votes, proclaimed his election was a win for the people of Gaza. After the results were announced, he shouted, Allahu Akbar. Supporters unfurled a Palestinian flag behind him. He said, we'll not be silenced. We'll raise the voice of Gaza. We'll raise the voice of Palestine. Allahu Akbar. He was not alone in tying his success to the Palestinian struggle. Numerous other candidates running on a pro-Palestinian platform also defeated their rivals across Britain. In Walsall, Nahid Zohra Gulta Sibhas celebrated by saying, this is for Gaza. This is for Palestine. Ahmed Yaqub of West Midlands secured approximately 20% of votes in his constituency on a pro-Palestinian platform as well. The opposition or Labour Party lost over 10% of its support in some areas to the pro-Palestinian candidates. Chris Hopkins, political research director, said, quote, Labour's vote is falling away in some Muslim areas. It shows the party has plenty of work to do among some communities over its response to the conflict in Gaza. Again, it's all part of the same broad rubric. Groups that are disproportionately successful must be victims of the West. Now, I will say, all of this is going to breed backlash. And the backlash is going to be very strong. You're seeing it on college campuses right now with the bros. Clapping for the applause for the bros who are standing up with American flags at these pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas protests and singing the Star-Spangled Banner and then being ripped by the media for their trouble. But this is going to have some pretty widespread consequences, not just electorally in places like the United States, but also in Europe. The media in the United States, they're beside themselves. Because what they are seeing is that it turns out that allowing tens of millions over the last couple of decades of predominantly Muslim immigrants into European countries and creating areas that are effectively radical hotbeds for pro-Hamas viewpoints, it turns out that that's not very good for Europe. And a lot of people don't like it very much. And it's resulting in an anti-immigration backlash in a bunch of countries across Europe. And that anti-immigration backlash is causing serious pressure on the EU. Because, of course, it is the EU that has allowed free border crossing in particular areas. And then, if you're a member of the EU, then there's free transit between all these countries. So, the New York Times has a piece titled, Just How Dangerous is Europe's Rising Far Right? Immigration, anti-immigration parties with fascist roots and an uncertain commitment to democracy are now mainstream. Now, I gotta say, I do love that the left has now decided that the word democracy does not mean rule by popular vote. Democracy now means stuff the left likes. This is how, for example, you have people on the left in the United States, for example, just to talk about the misuse of the word democracy, suggesting that the overturning of Roe versus Wade is somehow a defeat for democracy. So Hakeem Jeffries, for example, he said this over the weekend. He said that when Roe fell, it was a defeat for democracy, which is using democracy in a unique way. If the idea is kicking back a policy to the voters, that is somehow anti-democracy. He doesn't know what the word democracy means.
How big of an issue will abortion rights be this election year?
It's going to be an incredibly significant issue because on its own, it's about freedom. And the extreme MAGA Republicans have set in motion the erosion of reproductive freedom. We're going to fight for it with every thing that we've got at our disposal. If Roe v. Wade can fall, anything can fall. Social Security can fall. Medicare can fall. Voting rights can fall. And God help us all, but democracy itself can fall.
You may notice that none of the things that he just talked about, with the exception of voting rights, have anything to do with democracy. So again, for the left, the word democracy just means stuff I like. So the New York Times has an entire piece about Europe talking about how populist parties on the right, which are anti-immigration, they're a threat to democracy, as opposed to, you know, importing millions of people from areas of the world that generally despise the West. That's not a threat to democracy. It's more of a threat to democracy to have people voting to, you know, maintain their own cultures. That's a real threat to democracy, according to the New York Times. Quote, across Europe, the far right is becoming the right, absent any compelling message from traditional conservative parties. Not only have the parties of an anti-immigration right surged, they've seen the barriers that once kept them out crumble as they are absorbed into the arc of Western democracies. And they named Giorgia Meloni the prime minister of Italy, who supposedly was going to impose fascist rule in Italy and didn't do it. And then there's Sweden, where the center-right government depends on the fast-growing Sweden Democrats. Or the Netherlands, where Geert Wilders, who has been very anti-Islamic immigration for literally decades, won the national elections in November. Or France, where Jordan Bardella, president of National Rally, is leading his party's campaign for the elections in June to the European Parliament. Again, it turns out that even the Europeans, as weak as they are, they also don't like the sort of multicultural DEI principles being applied in their countries. If the left wishes to embrace full scale the mentality that people who hate the West are in fact the vanguard in transforming the West, there will be a backlash and it will be incredibly strong, and it should be incredibly strong. We'll get to more on this in just a moment. First, you know what's dumb? Those woke TikToks my producers make me watch all the time. You know what else is dumb? Not having life insurance. You need life insurance. It's just a responsible thing to do. Getting life insurance will give you peace of mind. Knowing if something were to happen to you, your family could cover expenses while getting back on their feet. Policy Genius has licensed award-winning agents and technology that makes it easy to compare life insurance quotes from America's top insurers in just a few clicks to find that lowest price. Their team of licensed experts is on hand to help you through the process. Even if you already have a life insurance policy through work, it might not offer enough protection for your family's needs. It might not follow you if you leave your job. Listen, you just have to be prepared for the worst, and life insurance helps you do that. Policy Genius gives you the life insurance you need. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies starting at just $292 per year for $1 million in coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid those unnecessary medical exams. Policy Genius works for you, not the insurance companies, which means they don't have the incentive to recommend one insurer over another. Save time, save money, provide your family with a financial safety net using Policy Genius. Head on over to policygenius.com/Shapiro. Get your free life insurance quotes. See how much you could save. That's policygenius.com/Shapiro. Strong. Now, again, all of this might be justifiable politically, except that Joe Biden is running a terrible campaign right now. And as I mentioned over and over and over again, Donald Trump continues to lead him in the national polling average. Donald Trump continues to lead him in all the swing state polling averages. And part of that is because, you know what he is? He's a deer in the headlights. And at this point, almost literally a deer in the headlights. Here was Joe Biden the other day, literally being a deer in the headlights. He actually stops and just randomly stares at the cameras. It's so weird. He's such a weird old man. What is he doing? He's crouching and randomly staring around with the Easter Island egg face planted on it. And Jill is like, I can't even take this. Jill starts to walk away. He stops and he's like, what is wrong with him? What is wrong with, the answer is that Joe Biden is no longer mentally with us, if ever he was. The good news, the White House is trying to plaster this over by somehow relying on celebrity. So May the 4th was on Saturday. So it was Star Wars Day, right? Because May the 4th be with you. So Joe Biden hosted Mark Hamill to the White House, just reminding you how long ago Star Wars was, because Mark Hamill is also now an aged human. Mark Hamill is now 72 years old, and he looks old. He's 8 years younger than the current president of the United States.
May the 4th be with you.
Always.
Oh, dude. And then Mark Hamill went to the White House press room, where he proceeded to take questions. I mean, the first question he should take is, why The Last Jedi? Why? 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 Okay, apparently he's joined the dark side by this outfit. I'm not sure who told him this was a good combo, but here we go.
I just wanted to say I was honored to be asked to come to the White House to meet the president, the most legislatively successful president in my lifetime. And, you know, I don't have to go through the list, the bipartisan infrastructure law, the PACT Act, the CHIPS Act, all of that, inflation, 15 million jobs. Look, it's all good. I mean, I was really thrilled to meet the entire staff because, you know, it's not just one person. It's like a composite endeavor. And all these people, my goodness, you know, I mean, I have no idea. I had no idea just what went into what is on his plate on a daily basis.
Who's more of a fool, the fool or the fool who follows him? My goodness. That's what the White House got for you. Well, good news that on the Republican side of the aisle, at least it appears that Kristi Noem might be done. So that's good. You know, we need fewer clowns on the right. Lots of clowns on the right. Clowns everywhere. Well, Kristi Noem, who was at one point considered a vice presidential candidate, it turns out that she spent the last 2 weeks claiming that it was good to shoot a puppy, like a 14-month-old dog. It was good to shoot the dog. And also claiming that she met Kim Jong-un. So she had an awkward weekend. Here's Kristi Noem talking about how she was right to shoot her dog and also maybe we should shoot Joe Biden's dogs. So it's a unique approach to American electoral success, shooting dogs.
You talk multiple times about it. In fact, at the end of the book, you say the very first thing you would do if you got to the White House that was different from Joe Biden is you'd make sure Joe Biden's dog was nowhere on the grounds. Commander, say hello to Cricket. Are you doing this to try to look tough, Do you still think that you have a shot at being a VP?
Well, number one, Joe Biden's dog has attacked 24 Secret Service people. So how many people is enough people to be attacked and dangerously hurt before you make a decision on a dog and what to do with it?
Well, he's not living at the White House anymore.
That's a question that the president should be held accountable to.
You're saying he should be shot?
That's what the president should be accountable to, is what is the number? And I would say about Republicans criticizing me, these are the same Republicans that criticized me during COVID.
No, actually, those are not. No, that's not true at all. I was pretty pro Kristi Noem during COVID. But it's when you start shooting the dogs that apparently there's another chapter of her book that is titled Bad Day to Be a Goat, where she kills a goat. So, I mean, I would watch a nature show with Kristi Noem just like hunting, I guess. But I don't know when this became like is the pathway to political power. I remember when Sarah Palin was running for VP and she's like, yeah, I was shooting moose from a helicopter. Like, you know, I feel like being good at being governor, like, is that, when did that go out of style for the Republican Party? Just being good at being a governor. And we're like, you know what we need? We need people who can signal about what kind of animals they kill at close range. Apparently in her book, she also claims that she met with Kim Jong-un, which is funny because I also met with Kim Jong-un. Never. Here is Kristi Noem trying to explain how she met with Kim Jong-un in her imagination.
You talk about meeting some world leaders and one specific one. Quote, I remember when I met with North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un. I'm sure he underestimated me, having no clue about my experience staring down little tyrants. I've been a children's pastor after all. Did you meet Kim Jong-un?
Well, you know, as soon as this was brought to my attention, I certainly made some changes and looked at this passage. And I've met with many, many world leaders. I've traveled around the world. As soon as it was brought to my attention, we went forward and have made some edits. So I'm glad that this book is being released in a couple of days and that those edits will be in place and that people will have the updated version.
So you did not meet with Kim Jong-un. That's what you're saying.
No, I've met with many, many world leaders. Many world leaders. I've traveled around the world. I think I've talked extensively in this book about my time serving in Congress, my time as governor, before governor, some of the travels that I've had. I'm not going to talk about my specific meetings with world leaders. I'm just not going to do that. This anecdote shouldn't have been in the book. And as soon as it was brought to my attention, I made sure that that was adjusted. So the book is not released until Tuesday. And so we're doing all that we can to make sure that those changes are made.
Okay. So that's a no. I don't think she's going to be the vice presidential candidate. I hate to break it to her. Joining us on the line is my friend Megyn Kelly. So Megyn, you are now starring in an animated TV show on Daily Wire Plus beginning on Sunday. Mr. Bertram, I know it's your lifelong dream to play an animated character on on a show on Daily Wire Plus. How did this happen?
I'd like to thank the Academy. Oh, wait, it's not time for that yet. Okay, we'll wait. We'll wait until the nominations pour in. It's actually very funny. I have a bone to pick with you, Ben Shapiro. I mean, as somebody who's at the very top of the power ladder at the Daily Wire, if you're going to make a cartoon version of me or somebody that I could play, why couldn't you be like 5'9 with like ample bosom and a teeny tiny waist? My character's a slightly frumpy gal. She's a little frumpy, but I love her. I love her. Wendy, we'll see how our relationship progresses. But anyway, super fun project. Love all the guys at the Daily Wire. Adam's been so fun. And this has been a hilarious thing to work on.
So it's got a big cast, obviously. It's you, Adam Carolla, Roseanne Barr, Danny Trejo, Patrick Warburton, Kyle Dunnigan, Tyler Fisher, Sage Steele. Like, it's a big cast. So who did you work with the most on the cast when you were actually doing the voiceovers?
Literally nobody. That's the weird thing about the cartoon is two guys who are running the whole thing would come see me with their audio equipment. And I started off by saying, you guys, I can't act. This is not my thing. I know how to do the news. I'm very good at assessing what I can and cannot do. And acting's not on my list. They're like, you don't really have to act. You just have to say these lines. So they would say the line, then I would say the line back. And then they'd give me a different way to say the line. And on it went until, you know, I really started to imbibe. I went method. I became a liberal like Wendy and I gained 10 pounds. No, I didn't. But anyway, that was the fun thing because then they'd come back the next session and they would show me how they had spliced in Adam's parts and other people's parts. And I, for the record, absolutely adore Kyle Dunnigan. I think he is one of the funniest people I have ever been exposed to. And he plays my, quote, son in this film and the cartoon. And I think people are going to fall in love with him as much as I have.
So Mr. Burcham is actually a throwback to, you know, Adam's earlier work. He'd been doing this character. I mean, I remember listening to him do this character on the radio in Los Angeles decades ago. And then they'd actually put up a show based on those characters for Fox. And because it was too politically incorrect, they never ended up greenlighting it. Is back in the late 90s. And so now it's sort of making a comeback. So what's different about this show than the kind of stuff you're going to see on TV?
Everything. First of all, it's funny. It's not fake funny where you have to force the laugh. You will genuinely laugh many times when you watch the episodes. I mean, I love the whole concept of it, right? It's a non-woke shop teacher who hates children. Like, already, yes, okay, I'm in. And like his interactions with the sort of DEI head at his school who's running around in a man bun and like a skater guy. Those are gold. They're TV gold. They cross every line, right? Every boundary is crossed. All the sacred cows are attacked. And it's just refreshing. It's the way it used to be like back when we were growing up. You know, I mean, certainly Gen Xers, we didn't have to worry about all this political incorrectness. And we said what we wanted and we did politically incorrect humor. We made each other laugh. It actually was a way of bonding between the races and the sexes and all of it. And now we've gotten away from that. And I do think it's fomenting real racism, real sexism as a backlash to the overcorrection. So this is sort of where we need to be, where we can lovingly mock one another for anything and everything and laugh at ourselves in the process.
So Mr. Burcham is coming out exclusively at Daily Wire Plus beginning on Sunday, May 12th. So Megan, I do want to turn to some news of the day briefly with you a little bit. So you've been watching in granular detail, I'm sure, the Trump case in New York. The charges themselves are ridiculous. How do you think the case is going for Trump? Does it even matter because it's a New York jury anyway? Well, what do you make of what's going to happen over there?
It doesn't matter because it's a New York jury. And the fix really does look like it's in. This Judge Merchant is basically the judge version of Alvin Bragg. I mean, he's another version of Judge Engoron, who gave Letitia James everything she wanted in that civil fraud trial. So it's like, I don't know, everything that they've wanted, they've gotten over on the prosecution side. And everything Trump has moved for, he hasn't gotten. All the rulings have been against Trump. And really, the fundamental problem with this case, as I see it, Ben, is this whole contest, this whole discussion about whether Trump violated campaign finance laws should have been over before the case started. That determination is made by one question. It doesn't have to do with dual purpose, as even the right-wing media is going with now. The only question is, it's not whether Trump had a dual purpose in paying off Stormy Daniels, both campaign-related and Melania-related. The only question is, look at the nature of the payment and ask yourself whether this is a payment that would ever be made for anything other than a political campaign. If the answer is no, it wouldn't, then it's a political contribution. If the answer is, yeah, sometimes it might be, then it's not a political contribution. You look at the nature of the payment, not what was in Trump's head. I don't care that he also wanted to protect Melania. I don't care about any of that testimony. It's coming in droves. That's what the Trump defense has been reduced to, because this judge won't issue them the ruling that he should issue, which is it doesn't matter what was in Trump's or anybody else's heads. All that matters is hush money payments have been paid since the dawn of time to women threatening to bring down men, having nothing to do with politics. That's the end of it. It's not a campaign finance violation, period, end of report. It'll be handled on appeal. All the rest is window dressing.
And so what do you think the court is likely to do in terms of, say, sentencing? So assuming that the jury actually convicts Trump on this, because again, it's a New York jury, the probability of that is quite high. Do you think that they're actually going to try to sentence him to jail time? He doesn't have a prior criminal record in New York. It would be insane to try to sentence the leading candidate for the presidency. He is not just the Republican nominee. He is leading in the polls. He is very likely to be the next president of the United States. It would be really crazy for the judge to sentence him to jail time. Do you think he'll actually try to do that?
No, I don't. I don't think there's any chance he's going to sentence Trump to jail. It'll be a monetary fine of some sort. And I think there are two reasons. Number one, it wouldn't be justified given the past violations of this same kind of statute at this level for somebody who has no criminal record. So it would be an extraordinary thing to do. But number two, I think this judge is accurately realizing, because you're starting to see the veil come down over the Democrats' eyes too, this is helping Trump. And even if a conviction might not help him, if you believe the polls, like some 20% of voters who are Trump inclined still say, I don't know if he's a convicted felon. I don't know if I believe that over this particular case, but let's say they mean it. You throw him in jail over this nonsense, and I think the judge will accurately perceive it's only going to help Trump and hurt the Democrats. And this judge is an obviously open partisan who won't want that.
Okay, so meanwhile, the other big story that has been dominating the news, obviously, is all of these America-hating protesters on college campuses. And I call them that because that's what they are. The thing they object to more than even Israel seems to be the American flag. They really hate the American flag. You take your life into your hands if you walk into the middle of one of these protests with an American flag. Our friend Ami Horowitz learned when he actually tried that at CUNY and got literally punched and thrown down a flight of stairs for carrying an American flag. The White House seems unable to take any strong action or even say anything particularly strong other than, well, you know, if they go and they break some windows, then that's illegal. There's really two questions here. One is we all agree, or everyone should agree, that if you're engaging in criminal activity, you should actually be arrested. And yet these administrations, they're negotiating with people who are violating the law. So that's question number one. And number two, we all know that if these protesters were protesting on behalf of quote unquote white supremacy, then the White House would be out there every single day just banging on the protesters and talking about how it's an element of the Trump campaign and how America is showing its see me ugly side. Meanwhile, you have these protesters out there threatening Jews openly, and the White House is like, well, you know, there are good people on both sides. It's kind of fascinating.
Yeah, and it's so obvious. I mean, Biden's handling these protests the same way he handles the stairs up to Air Force One, you know, incredibly gingerly. And he could go down at any moment. And he realizes it. He's very worried about his standing with the youth vote, which Trump is now starting to win, according to more and more polls. It's amazing. A Republican is going to win the youth vote? Since when? What? So he's very worried about that. He's worried about, of course, not just the left flank of the Democratic base, but there's a little creep over there. Although I do think core Democrats are still very pro-Israel. And so he doesn't say anything. He wants credit for issuing these tough paper statements. That's all they are. His heart isn't in it, or if his heart is in it, we have no reason to know that because he hasn't shown any sort of the passion that he showed in response to Charlottesville when he thought Trump handled it wrong. I mean, this has been a Charlottesville every other day, and he doesn't seem to care. And so for me, I'll tell you, I look at this like I'm very inspired by guys like you guys retweeted this guy. I think he was on Harvard. Was it Harvard or MIT? The Jewish guy who was like, I will not pretend I'm part of the problem. Why aren't you stopping them? Make my way. I clear my way so I can go on my campus. Inspired by guys like that. That's the way forward. The fraternity brothers at UNC Chapel Hill who hoisted back up the American flag. This is what we stand for. This is who we are. I think as far as government goes, we're on our own. Those are the people we have to look forward to solve this because nobody else is going to do it. And then on the other hand, there is the separate issue. If you take the safety of Jews out of it, which I realize is a big thing to remove, but there is some pleasure. Is there not? In seeing like Columbia get all sad about the fact that they've had to cancel their graduation. Like, oh, boo hoo. You know, you and I, yeah. 5 years ago, 10 years ago, never would have sent our kids to Columbia. We know what's happening there. Maybe not Jew specific, but we know what their beliefs are. We know they hate America. So I'm having trouble like feeling bad for them that they're canceling the graduation. I hope this is a real wake up call to all Americans who love our country. Don't send your kids to these universities.
Yeah, we should have our Congress actually cut funding to these universities since they're all just little activist training centers. You want to give money to the research centers, give money to the research centers and defund all the idiotic departments that are churning out blue-haired morons who then go into corporate world and expect everybody to bow to their every whim. It's insane. Well, Megan, obviously, thank you so much for your participation over in Mr. Bertram. It's awesome. Everybody go check that out exclusively on Daily Wire Plus beginning on Sunday. And of course, check out Megan's show, The Megan Kelly Show, on Sirius XM Triumph Channel 111 every weekday, noon Eastern time. Also found at youtube.com/Megan Kelly and wherever else you get your podcasts. Megan, great to speak to you.
Thanks, Ben. Great to see you as always.
Alrighty, folks, we've reached the end of the show. We'll be back here tomorrow with much more. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.